May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and Redeemer. Amen. This Sunday we mark the last Sunday after Trinity, and thus the end of the year. Wait, the end of the year? Isn't that at the end of December? Or if you're a student, isn't that sometime in June? How can it possibly be in the middle of November?
Okay.
It is the end of the church's year. A week today, we will celebrate Advent Sunday, the beginning of a new year for the church. A new year, a new chapter, a new time. And this year has been like one like no other in living memory, initially starting off as usual with the firework-filled New Year celebrations and the like. All seemed to be perfectly normal for a couple of months or so, however one defines normal. And then, suddenly, our normal lifestyles were affected and changed in ways we would never have anticipated with the COVID-19 pandemic. We, the church, have sacrificed so much this year. At times, we have been unable to routinely attend church and unable to enter our church buildings even for private prayer at some of the most important times, such as Holy Week and Easter. We have been unable to participate in the sacramental life of the church as we usually would. Our choirs and other musicians have made huge sacrifices in practice and employment. Perhaps today, on the feast day of St. Cecilia, their patron saint, we might especially pray for them. Many parishes have made financial sacrifices, and very sadly, many, many people have died or have been bereaved over the course of the pandemic. We long for the day when the pandemic is declared to be over, a day which is now nearer to us than ever before, with the encouraging news of COVID-19 vaccines being developed and being found safe for use. But our churches have also morphed and adapted to the new challenges presented to us. The church's online presence today is stronger than it ever has been. Apart from being potentially evangelistically prosperous, it has helped us to express ourselves in new ways. It facilitates us to still meet and worship God together as a community, no matter where we are and where we cannot currently be in person. We may still make an act of spiritual communion, and our choirs and other musicians, even in the context of lockdown, have still been able to provide music for online services. And we can always experience the omnipresent God anywhere and everywhere, for he is present at all times and in all places. I think it is fair to admit that this year has been something of a roller coaster. How might we prepare for the coming year? Perhaps we may take the words of King David in today's psalm to prayer. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. This might be a perfect foundation for our prayer as we look towards a new year, for they reflect the acute need for our Lord's strength, blessing, and peace. So we turn to God in prayer, but this would be impossible had God not turned to us first. He chooses to come to us and to meet us where we are at. He did this by his blessed incarnation, which we will celebrate after Advent at Christmas. And we commemorate our Lord Jesus Christ's birth, life, passion, death and resurrection every time we meet our Lord at the Eucharist. The Last Supper, at which Jesus Christ formally institutes the Eucharist, is recorded in all four canonical Gospels. But in St. John's Gospel, the formal institution of the Eucharist is not recorded at the Last Supper. Yet there is much material in the fourth Gospel which is Eucharistic. And today's Gospel passage, especially when taken alongside the wedding at Cana in John 2, is no exception. Jesus gives thanks before sharing the meal with those gathered. The word thanksgiving, coming from the Greek word eucharisteo, or to give thanks, The Eucharist is a thanksgiving. Christ the King turns to us and brings and gives us new life by giving himself to us. This is his turning towards us. We turn to him in response and follow his example here by giving thanks. Our year is nearly complete, but to what extent does it feel complete? Perhaps you are more than ready for the conclusion of the year and to embrace the next new year when it comes. Perhaps you have still been able to make some or all of the goals you set out to achieve, and thus the year feels naturally complete. But perhaps this year feels incomplete. Maybe you haven't been able to accomplish or enjoy all that you had hoped to do this year. Was this through sacrifice? Was this through missed opportunities? Maybe, but far more likely it was through opportunities we had hoped for that did not and could not exist at the time due to the pandemic. Many of our short-term or mid-term goals we had planned for this year might have had to be postponed or seemingly lost. But Jesus does not let us lose our opportunities that easily, or any aspects of our life in the long term. For just as we seek to gather the broken fragments of aspects of our lives up in the wake of the confusion of the pandemic, so does Jesus order after he feeds the 5,000. No breadcrumbs are to be lost. No aspects of our lives are to be lost. By embracing Christ, we lose nothing. For Jesus says, "Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." How might we resume our understandings of normality after the pandemic? Will things go back to the way they were before the pandemic took hold? Will there be a so-called new normal? Will it be familiar, or new, or a combination? And of course, when? These are questions I certainly ponder at times, questions to which we do not yet have a certain answer. Not having an answer to such significant questions, these can be unsettling, but we need have no fear. We can find our hope and trust in God, who is omniscient or all-knowing. We see the power of God, of the Lord's voice in our psalm and in our gospel reading. We see the power of his mind. Jesus knew the answer to the rhetorical question he asked of Philip. He knew every detail. And in the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the evangelists recall how Jesus knew exactly how many people to group together in order to feed them at the 5,000. Christ planned this to the finest details. Even when we do not know when or how things will happen, God does, and he might just work a miracle or two for us along the way. So we look back at the year we have experienced, a year that has been like no other. Now we look ahead to the new year ahead of us, towards Advent and Christmas, when we will greet our Lord and Saviour. And we now prepare to meet our Lord as we make our act of spiritual communion. Let us taste and see how good the Lord our God is. In the words of King David, may the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.